Hey guys, Bryce here from Flex Cortex. All content on the Flex Cortex podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. It is not a substitution for medical advice from a qualified health professional. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today, I'm speaking with Fernie, and we know each other through ZS, so Zach Spencer and his business coaching. For herself, though, she's been a personal trainer for quite some time through ISSA, and she's also in school for psychology, which is really cool. So today, we're going to talk about training women, the nuance of training women, but also the psychological differences between men and women, and trying to implement that into your training. And also, if you're just a listener and you don't maybe coach clients, still taking some of these things and applying it to your own training. So first of all, thank you so much for coming on today. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. So first thing I ask everybody when they come on, what is your origin story? What got you into fitness? And then when did you realize, holy, I want to be a coach?
So I started lifting when I started university, just because I had easy access to the gym. It kind of started off, rocky road, ups and downs, just like everybody else. And then as the years kind of went on, I started taking it a little bit more seriously until eventually in 2023, last year, I did my very first bodybuilding competition. And it was through that I met Zach, the owner of ZS, and he kind of took me under his wing, helped me kind of with all the coaching stuff. Well, actually, while I was on prep, I was doing all of my certifications because I had already kind of thought, okay, I want to do this for people. So then when he took me on, the reason I kind of decided to take that extra step was because I just wanted, I kind of realized that I would have benefited a lot more from a coach in my earlier days of training. So I remember just thinking, if I can save a few of those steps, or if I can help other women make less mistakes in their fitness journey, like that's what I want to do. Because externally, what I want to do is just help people, which is, like you mentioned, the reason why I'm also in my other field, which is psychology, because I want to help people. I'm very mindset focused. And I know that a lot of people, especially women, have just like some struggles around body image and things like that. And I feel like there weren't a lot of coaches out there that were addressing it, I guess, in the way that I do, and or that I planned to at the time. And then I was, that's kind of what sparked the interest. And I was like, I think I need to do this in order to be able to help people in a different way. So yeah, that's kind of the brief of it. Otherwise we'd be here for 4 days.
That's okay. I have 4 days. that's great. I think, like, I always ask everybody when they come on, because I think it's so cool to see like where they came from, and also what gave them that spark, and like that was like their aha moment that they wanted to be a coach. And it's always cool to see that it, you know, working out doesn't usually start as something that is intrinsically driven, but you know, I think it shifts towards that, right? It starts off as extrinsic. You're doing it for a validation, for your ego, for identity reasons, right? But then it shifts. And then when people have that shift, they realize that, oh, I want to help people also have this same feeling. So to tie it into today's conversation, I feel like it's a nice segue. So you're in psychology and you have a heavy emphasis on mindset. So what are some things that you do with your clients, or what are some of the common issues that you tend to see with women or men that you acknowledge and try to work on? And how have you seen improvements within doing so?
Yes. So I think the biggest, one of the biggest things is the relationship around food. I personally struggled with it, still to this day do. Like, it's very up and down. Like, it's not a linear recovery. I am in a much better place than I was, like, you know, 5 years ago, which is great. And I've learned so many things, you know, and I wanted to share that with other people, but again, specifically other women, because I feel like our experiences are a little bit more aligned. But that's probably one of the biggest things I help them with. Usually, I take an approach where if I have a girl come in and tell me like I have a bad relationship with food, instead of just being like, okay, here are your macros, like follow that. I kind of take the time to ask them about that and ask where that's coming from first, and kind of nourish the I guess like the root of the cause, and try and help that first, to the best of my abilities. Because of course, like even though I have the capabilities to help them to an extent, I am not yet a registered psychologist. But also, these women aren't paying me to be their psychologist. They're paying me to be their coach. So I can only help them so much. But at the end of the day, I do focus on that, and I kind of help structure more kind of that idea of why, like for some of the women, it's overeating. So it's like, why are we overeating? And then it's like, hey, let's look at why this is happening. Let's look at alternatives of that. And then once they kind of get comfortable with that, also teaching them about how macros are, can be a positive thing, because for me personally, they used to be a very negative thing a really long time ago. And eventually they became the thing that helped me with my food relationship. So teaching them that macros are in like this scary thing, that it's like a restrictive, way to track your food. It's more so just stating some data of what you're putting in your body, so that if you have any, changes, symptoms in your body because of what you're eating, you have that data to look back to, and it's very factual and very, on paper, so that you don't have any kind of second guessing or anything like that, which is, I think, is such a huge component as to why so many women are like, oh, I can't lose weight, or I can't gain muscle, or whatever, because they're not, tracking their food. Or you often hear, oh, I've tried everything. And it's like, okay, if you have the data there, you can actually see it. So teaching them to use it a little bit more functionally as opposed to being scared of it. And those are kind of just like the two main things that I try and show my girls, is this is how you use this functionally, but let's tackle the reason why you're having a problem with this first. Because if that's still like underlying as we go forward, whatever we try, even if it works for a little bit, like there's a good chance we're gonna get back to that whole like, disordered eating habit, field. And then yeah, so that's kind of what I start doing with them. And I find that that has helped a lot of them as well, because in addition to this, just explaining to them that progress isn't linear, for one, because a lot of the girls that I serve, they think, okay, like fastest thing, I need to lose weight by tomorrow. Like, you know what I mean? And it's kind of also talking them through that process of, hey, if you want these long term, because a lot of the women that are on that I help have yo-yo dieted like back in the past. So they're always like, oh, but then I get here and then I can't keep my results. So yeah, just also talking about that longevity aspect and making them feel comfortable around like tracking and food, and just giving them more long-term results. And this has helped them just begin to heal that relationship while also getting whatever goal it is that they're trying to reach, right? So, yeah.
No, I love that. I think when people tend to begin, they kind of have this all or nothing mentality, right? And I think that all or nothing mentality is probably what's crippling people because they come into it thinking that they have to give this up, give this up, give this up, and then as soon as they realize that you don't have to give this up or this up or this up, actually. And then you can actually, like, again, implement what you're saying, right? Building some structure, some routine. But I think a big part of it too is awareness. Like, you're just trying to teach somebody that, like, hey, you feel this certain way, which leans you towards wanting to eat. Like, let's kind of learn more about what that is and what that means, right? And I think for them too, it's maybe they don't even acknowledge it on their own. So if you bring it up, And if you're like, hey, you know, like this is pretty common, this tends to happen, right? Can we talk about this? Can we figure out like maybe what's going on here? And I realized like what you said earlier too, like again, like we're not paid to be a psychologist, but I do think that as a coach, I do think that we still do have a responsibility and a job to still try to help them understand that. And if they are receptive to it, help them try to like work through it in a sense too. And you can do this in many ways from what I've experienced. Like maybe you're doing like a limiting belief buster where it's like, hey, there's this belief, let's make a new one, let's give evidence here, right? Or it's like, okay, well, let's figure out like the whole belief cycle to result cycle. Let's give them like some understanding of that too. Or it's like gratitude stuff, right? Maybe it's journaling. It's just stuff that they can like shift their mindset and not be in a place where they're like, they're thinking poorly of themselves. And that in turn is probably like feeding into this relationship with food and et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah, I hear you. And just that what you spoke about limiting beliefs, that's also kind of like the key component of what I do in the more like mindset side of things is I feel like so many times the people that haven't gotten to their goals is because they have all of these limiting beliefs about what they can and can't do. It's and again, that's another process that I take, my clients through where they're like, oh, I just can't do this. And I'm like, why? And then if they explain it to me, I try and give them, more ideas on how they could do it. And they'll usually at the beginning, especially when they start with me, they'll give me a lot more pushback and like, oh, this is why I can't do it. Right. So then I'll ask them to come up with a solution. Because then if they come up with a solution, then it's like, okay, well, they clearly know what they're able to do. So then, like at that point, they're like, oh shit, okay, I actually have to do it. Right. So, yeah. So I'll get them there. And then, as we work together for longer, I find that the longer I work with them, when I ask them, like, can you do this? And I go, okay. And they say, no. I'm like, why not? And they already know. So they're like, oh, you're right. No, yes, I can. I'm just saying I can't. Right. So, yeah, just having like breaking that, like challenging people and breaking that limiting belief. And that's how I know that a client or a potential client is going to be a good client for me is when they are receptive to that, when they're like, no, you're right. Like, this isn't an attack. I understand that I can do this and that you're just telling me that I'm telling myself that I can't. Right. So, yeah, that's also a very important piece.
Yeah, I feel like it's one that's not often talked about either. And I think I didn't really realize it until late how the mindset could either hinder or it could progress your progress, drastically. Either it's one of those things that's holding you back and limiting you from your truest potential, right? And limiting you from actually moving forward. Or it's going to be this thing that can like almost expedite this whole process where you're just like you're moving forward and things are feeling good, right? And I've realized just within that too that like the mindset is often going to be the catalyst always. It's going to be this one piece that's always going to be not giving enough attention to. And I think a lot of coaches tend to not put enough emphasis on it. And that might have been myself included for some time as well. But it's all about the questions that we ask, right? It's about actively listening, learning your client, building rapport, understanding them too, and realizing that like this is coaching. Right. This isn't just, you're not giving them stuff to do just to do it. We're not checking boxes just because, right? We're doing things because the client needs this. And we're, again, we're just kind of meeting them where they're at, right? If we're able to look at it and be like, okay, well, this is the plan. We're scrapping this for today. Like, let's figure out like what you can actually do today too. It's so different if somebody has an injury, right? They come in with a spontaneous injury and it's like, okay, well, I had this plan for us. Not gonna work. Okay, we're just gonna like flywheel it a little bit today and have an idea of like what you should be doing. But again, it's like don't be too married to the structure. You have to
Yeah,
be able, you have to be willing to like,
absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that I can speak like even to my own experience, like to be fully truthful with you and any coach watching. Like when I started, I was very much married to my structure. Like for the first few months, I just thought, oh, this is the way that I learned how to coach from, like all the accreditations that I have. And, and I was just very like, hey, this is what works. And like, right. But then the more that you kind of start working with people, the more you're like, okay, whatever. Like the rules are just there to have, some sort of like baseline. But yeah, every person is different. And it's like you said, you have to meet them where they're at. because otherwise, like, the structure might not work for them because life happens, right? And the structure doesn't always account for that. So it's just that idea of like making sure that you're accommodating and adapting, because that's the whole point of sustainable fitness, is being able to do that. Because if you can't do that, then it's like it's not going to be sustainable, and you're not going to be able to keep up with it, right? And teaching your clients that is so important.
Yeah, I think it's really important that when in the beginning that you're really establishing expectations well, like that you're expressing what you need as a coach, but what you also expect from them back as a client too. And also being transparent about your approach, your process, how you coach them too. 'Cause like some people aren't going to necessarily maybe want as like in depth of a process where it's heavy focus on mindset, reflection, you know, acceptance and love for yourself, right? But some people just want like a boot camp style guy where he's like, give me 15 or you fail and you suck at life. Okay. And it's like, okay, well, like again, like people are going to be like teach their own. They're going to want certain approaches. They're going to want a certain, maybe a gentler approach, right? Or they're going to want something that's like very firm and like kind of hard ass, right? So I think it just depends on like the client that you're with. But then also this ties in too to like not taking it personally as a coach if somebody stops with you, because it might just be like, hey, I don't jive with you. I don't like your process. And you'll find somebody that like likes you a lot and
No,
likes what you do.
exactly. Absolutely. Like, if I had somebody come up to me and go like, "Hey, I'm an injured basketball athlete. Can you coach me?" I'd be like, "No, probably not, because I don't really I mean, I know like a thing or two about basketball and injuries, right? But it's not really like my niche. So it's not like I can actually, right?" So I feel like in that respect, it is just like you can't just be like, "Yeah, I'll just help you with like generic stuff and, you know, like that kind of thing." But then also to your point about like wanting a certain thing, like when clients come to you and tell you, "Oh, I want this," right? I think it's about kind of working with them, that back and forth, and understanding them. Because some people will tell you, like something that I get a lot is, for example, I get a lot of women that come up to me and they're like, "Oh, I'm good at going to the gym. I just need a meal plan." And I'm like, "Okay, but like, what does that mean?" They have no idea. And then we talk about it. And then, you know, you kind of dig into the reason why they're struggling with their goal, and then all of a sudden it becomes this big thing, right? Where it's like, no, it's like you're telling me that you need something very like straightforward and direct, and you wouldn't even know how to follow it if I gave you a meal plan. You know, it's like there's some mindset, you know, blockage going on here that's not allowing you to reach this goal. You're telling me that you're pretty good at going to the gym, but you also just said that you're having a really hard time showing up consistently. So which is it? You know? So it is about just having that conversation, because, for example, like you and me, who are maybe like a little bit more seasoned gym goers, if you gave us like a workout plan just like randomly, we would probably know what to do with it. You know, we'd know how to change it to work for us and all of that, right? But a lot of the people that are seeking out our help don't always necessarily know this, right? But they think they do, you know? And that's not like speaking bad on them, but at the end of the day, it's like we want to help them get the best results in the most efficient way. So yeah, it is kind of that in between of like, I want to help you and I want to cater to you and what works for you, but I also want to give you my opinion as to what I think you need based on what you've told me. You know, it's like an educated discussion, I guess.
I think it's also a lack of clarity. Like, I think on the client's end, right, they don't really know what they want. And maybe it's because the idea of self-reflection scares them. There's a lot of layers to it, but I do think that, like, again, they don't really have clarity on what their actual goals are. And likely they haven't spent enough time with their se with themselves figuring out, like, why they actually want what they want. Because they'll throw vanity reasons at you all day long. They'll be like, I want to lose weight. I want to build muscle. I want to get stronger. And I'm like, that's fantastic. I love that for you. But I'm like, what underneath this, like, what do these things mean to you? Like, when you envision yourself accomplishing these things, how will your life be different? Or, right, how are you hindered now at this point in time to the point where you feel like you need to get to that point? And why are you stuck here? Like, what? And then how can we get you here? Because it's like a lot of people come to you and they just like, they think that just because they're going to toss you money, they'll lose the weight, right? Okay, I'll throw you the money, I'm going to lose the weight, right? And that's just like so far from the truth. But people
Yeah, it's like
like
I'm a coach, not a magician, unfortunately.
you can't like you can't abracadabra weight off somebody. I mean,
No, I wish. I wish I
yeah,
could.
if we could, we'd be rich.
Yeah.
And probably in the wrong field, to be honest, too. But
Yeah.
it's a very interesting concept, and that's why like when you spoke about psychology to me too, I was like, this is fascinating because even for me too, like I've realized so much within myself, and I think within that too, I've realized that this must be something that my clients struggle with too, to a great degree, and then that started this whole process of reading obnoxious amounts of books and everything.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. I'm glad that you're taking an interest in that because I think psychology really truly like rules our lives. Everybody talks about mental health, but I feel like a lot of people don't really understand that mental health isn't just depression and anxiety. You know, it's like it's just everything about your brain and even how it affects your training in this
Yeah.
context. You know,
Yeah,
like
it's
which
yeah,
is
1,000%.
some people don't talk about, you know.
Yeah, it's like it's like the idea of like this paradigm, right? Of like your subconscious maybe, right? And it's like how you speak to yourself will drastically impact what you do or what you don't do. But if you speak to yourself in this way where you think poorly of yourself, and I can speak from this too because I spoke poorly to myself for like a long time, right? I didn't believe in myself, and it's hard to actually like see improvements and forward traction when you don't believe in yourself. Because like if you're hearing people believe in you, that's great, right? But it has to get to a point where like you actually believe it and you're actually able to receive it.
Exactly. No, absolutely. And just we talk about like that mind-body connection, I think is like a very loose, like just a term that's used very loosely, right? And it's more specifically, again, in the context used when you're actively working out. Right, you feel the muscle as you're working out, but that's just a very like small piece of the whole puzzle because obviously your brain and your body are connected. If your biology isn't doing well, your brain probably isn't either, and vice versa, because your brain is a part of your body. So your thoughts, all of the abstract things that it takes to get to a goal, regardless of what it is very much influenced by your physical being as well,
100%.
So yeah,
100%.
and I feel like people just don't consider that sometimes, like a big one is like your gut. There's a lot of hormones that are made in your gut. So if you're not eating a whole food or like a nutritious diet, yeah, you're gonna feel kind of shitty. And people are like, oh, why am I so depressed? Why am I so anxious? I probably just need to go to my doctor and get medication. Or like, sometimes like you just need to eat fruit. You need to add more fruit to your diet or vegetables, or maybe like just not eat like super saturated foods like every single day of your life, or eat more. That's another one. A lot of people are scared to eat more, but some people don't eat enough. And then they wonder why they're sad and why they're, depressed. And yeah, people just don't think about that at all. So, yeah.
It's honestly crazy how like especially with the gut too, right? And how that's tied into the brain. And even in the books that I was reading like lately too, they talked about like how the dopamine and everything and like serotonin is tied to your gut, which is obviously tied to your brain, right? So it's crazy how like, when you eat something, right, you get that dopamine response, but also like from a gut deficiency standpoint, right? If you are experiencing issues when it comes to digestion, right, you're going to be getting bloating, you're going to be getting other issues like that too. It affects your brain chemistry, right? And that's why people that like, again, are constantly getting bloating are generally not in a good mood, right? Or you eat a meal that just like it destroys your insides. It's like it makes sense the next day that you're miserable because you ate a meal that ruined your gut, that ruined your insides, right? And like also you're like giving yourself, then the layer to that too, right, is you're giving yourself this shame. You're like, oh, I ate this food, and you already feel awful, and you're giving yourself this shame that you ate this food too, and that makes it tenfold, makes it way worse, right?
Exactly. And any negative thought is stressful, and I feel like cortisol is just such a huge like thing that, again, I think people are starting to talk about it a little bit more, but that has such a huge impact just in your overall like day, really, like just how your day goes. I mean, yeah, like it's a little different, like between men and women, because like with humans in general, your cortisol is highest in the morning, right? And then it dips at the end of the day. But because women have 28-day cycles on average, not exactly, and men have 24-hour cycles, women's cortisol actually like changes throughout
Makes
the
sense.
28-day average cycle.
Yeah.
It's again, it still applies at its highest in the morning and lowest in the evening, but it's yeah, like it's different. So yeah, so sometimes that's another thing. If like a guy wants to like work out, it's probably best to do this like in the daytime, right? But with
Yep.
women, it's like if they're at a point of their cycle where their cortisol is actually lower, then they probably, even if it's in the morning, they're probably not going to want to work out as much because it's not as steady. And yeah, like that's, it's your stress hormone. So it's like if you're
Yeah.
stressed, like
Yeah, yeah.
it's going to mess up so many other things,
Yeah. How do you, so within that too, like obviously the difference of men and women, how do you generally coach to navigate that differentiation in cortisol? Do you just like, yeah, how would you work with that with a female versus like a male? 'Cause I'm sure you probably have a male and female clients, so.
So I actually only coach women.
Okay, cool.
And the reason being is because like I said, I kind of I help my clients from experience, and I think that I share more of my experience and the way that I view things with women, because again, that
1,000%.
it's a little different, just the way that we approach things. It's just a little bit different, in the sense that I think women just are a little bit more like sensible about their goals, and also like just want, I think, that inner help that's a little bit more just like emotionally based. And I
Yeah,
think that
yeah.
I'm really good at that, so I really like to help
Yeah,
my
yeah.
girls. But as far as training, I don't really have like a specific structure because every women's cycle is like completely different. However, I do help my girls kind of navigate it, depending on where they are in their cycle. Like sometimes they'll message me and they'll be like, oh, I'm starting my period tomorrow, or I just started my period, or things like that. And I'll give them, tips based off of what they tell me.
Yep.
But yeah, so like if they're on their period, like usually that's when like they're progesterone's like really high, so that's when you're just like, okay, like you're not gonna be super strong, but like take it easy, still go to the gym, drink lots of water, like rest. You're gonna be a little bit hungrier, so if you eat a couple hundred calories more on
That's cool.
yeah,
Yeah.
for like 2 days, like oh my God, it's not gonna be the end of the world, okay? And then like the cycle kind of splits between like follicular and luteal, with like ovulation being in the middle. And I've talked to some of my girls about this, where they'll be like, oh my goodness, like I'm super energized and like I'm ready to go, and they'll be like in their follicular phase, and like their estrogen is so high, and they're just like, oh my goodness, like I'm ready to take on the day. I just like pushed, I pushed 35s today. I've never done that before. And then like all of the sudden, like they peak, and then it's like, Fernie, I don't know what's going on. I'm like, I literally want to die. Like, I don't want to go to the gym. And I think that that's so funny, because like, I kind of want to educate other people on this now, because I feel like I wasn't educated on it for like a while back. And actually, a lot of women don't even know this. Like, it's actually insane. They just don't teach us these things. But yeah, just telling my clients, like, okay, you peaked because you were in your follicular phase, and then you hit your ovulation, where you just felt on top of the world, and then you crashed, because that's how our cycles work, right? With men, it's like you guys have your 24-hour cycle, so it's
Yeah.
like obviously not every day is the same because there's so many external factors, but for generally speaking, on a regular perfect day, it's like your energy is the highest the first half of the day, and then you crash, and then you're like, okay, I'm done. Whereas, for women, it's that cycle. That's why they'll always ask me like, hey, why do I feel like this? Like, why can't I was lifting, like I was pushing 35s the other day, and now I'm down to 20. Like, what's going on? And they're really hard on themselves. And that's where I'm just like, okay, like this is what's happening with your body. This is normal. Additionally, another thing that also comes up is weight gain. Women's weight fluctuates a lot,
Yeah,
right?
way more than guys.
So, yeah, exactly. Especially during the cycle, that's something very common. So, like, I'll have women, that I coach come up to me and go, oh, I feel like I didn't, do my best this week because I gained 3 pounds. And I'm like, you're going to lose that as soon as you're done your period. Like, I'm telling you this right now. And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Right. So, there's like that piece of it too, where sometimes it's literally just that inexplicable, like, why is this happening? And it's literally just because your body is doing something different, like at that time of the month. And then, and women don't understand this. They feel ashamed. They feel like they're not doing a good job. And then it's like, no, this is literally something you can't control. Like you hit all your macros, you hit all your workouts, nothing has changed. Like, we're doing everything we're, right. And they're like, oh, but I like put on weight. And it's like, so what? Like this is something that you can't control. Right. And it's just making them see that and like helping them with that and advising them through it is really important because women have a really hard time with that, I think, like just accepting it where they're like, no, it's on me, it's my fault. And it's like, no, as long as you're doing what you have to do, everything out of that is, everything outside of that is out of your control. It's just your body and the way that it works. Right. It's the same thing with like body fat percentage, right? Like women have a higher body fat percentage than men, right? And it's kind of like I'll use an analogy. It's like imagine you heat a pot of water, but like if you add a pinch of salt to it, the water it makes it harder for the water to boil, right? It'll eventually boil, but it makes it a little harder. That's kind of how fat works, right? So like with women, because they have a higher fat percentage, they have a bit of a harder time,
With weight
with their
loss.
metabolism. It kind of slows it down. Like the boiling water is their metabolism. So it's like when you add a little bit of salt, which is the fat, it's harder to for the water to boil, right? And sometimes that also makes them feel just like stressed out and like worried. And it's not just about, like getting as huge as possible or anything like that. It's like there's so many factors there, right? Where it's like I've got girls who like will get to their smallest and they're like, why do I still have fat around my hips? Or like, why do I still have a belly pouch? And I'm like, because you're a woman, like you're gonna have, you need body fat. Like you have like you are supposed to, you are made to birth human beings, right? Like you have to have some sort of cushion there, right? Yes, you can try everything in your power and be as strict as you'd like with your fitness to try and lower your body fat percentage as much as you'd like, right? As is your preference. But at the end of the day, it's like if what is still healthy for you means that you're going to have a little bit of fat, it's just because you are a woman and your body fat percentage is just going to be like that, right? Because you need it.
Like physiologically, I think women can maintain, you could correct me if I'm wrong, right? But about 25% body fat's like a healthy range for women to be in, right? Whereas like men could probably maintain like a 15% body fat and have no real kind of like health issues related to like hormones and related to
Yeah.
sex drive and any of that stuff too, right? Whereas like I feel like for women, when you kind of like get below the point where you're at 25, that's when you start to experience issues because like you mentioned, you're supposed to have a higher body fat for reproductive reasons, right? So your body's like, ah, we
Exactly.
actually want you to be at this heavier weight, which makes sense too, because like it is easy for guys. So not easy for guys to lose weight, but it's easier for guys to lose weight than women.
Yeah,
So
that's what you see a lot of like bodybuilders once they get, or female bodybuilders that when they hit their peak week or when they're on stage, lose their periods because their hormones just aren't working anymore because their fat percentage is not optimal to, bear a child at that point. So, not that they're going to, but it's
No,
just
of
kind of what
course, yeah.
their body's response to that.
Yeah, so would you say that with like your coaching and what you've experienced and what you found is that the main thing that you do is just helping them develop their mindset around the fact that their body changes and has such a like a variety of hormonal fluctuation over that 28 days?
Oh yeah, that's definitely a big part. I think that just telling them that that scale of what's in their control versus what's not, which is kind of going back to that, mindset piece of like limiting beliefs of like this is not something I can do because of XYZ thing, right? And or okay, this is also like a whole other thing is like when a lot of people like there's women who like some of my clients have been in this spot too, but like a lot of women, especially on the internet, who are like, oh, I'll never be able to lose weight, or I've tried everything and I haven't been able to lose weight. I must have PCOS, or I must have like XYZ. Right. And it's kind of like, hey, if you think you have it for sure, like go to your doctor, get checked out. I think it's important. But it's also just like, let's not jump to conclusions because sometimes it is like, you're just not, I mean, to put it bluntly, you're just not putting in the work. Right. You think you've tried everything, you think you're doing the thing, but you haven't. Right. And you're like kind of lying to yourself a little bit. And they're just like, oh, it has to be something external. It has to be like, something wrong with my body because it just possibly like it couldn't possibly be me. And that's like the other side of the coin, right? Where it's just kind of like it's either that's the thing, is it's either, I'm doing everything right, there's something wrong with me because I can't. Just that feeling of shame, and then I have to explain to them like, hey, this is actually just something that's out of your control, or the other way around where they're like, oh, it's just something that's out of my control, like it couldn't possibly be me, and then I'm like, okay, no, like you haven't done anything in the last few weeks, like so yeah, it's more so about finding that like sweet spot with and talking them through it, whether it's like forwards or backwards from the idea. Yeah, so that's definitely a big part of it.
Lots of people don't like the getting called out on stuff, and they don't like that level of like acknowledgement, but they also don't like that level of honesty because it's way easier to blame it on things that are external than to like really reflect and look at yourself and think, okay, well, am I actually doing what needs to be done here? Like, am I actually trying to hit my step count? Am I actually trying to like drink enough water? Am I eating the food that I'm supposed to be eating? Am I actually being active? Because life is difficult to sometimes navigate, but also these changes are hard to implement over long periods of time, right? Especially in the beginning, right? Like it's like pulling teeth sometimes, but it gets easier and easier because it just becomes more of a priority and becomes more routine and systemized. But I think like it's that initial period, right, is very challenging. That's when people will usually they'll throw so many external things at you because it's just like it's easier than like realizing that, okay, maybe I'm not really doing what I should be doing or trying hard enough or being honest with myself.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Maybe it's just because I am this kind of person. Like I will say this stuff to just people that I'm close to, but anytime that I feel like we've gotten a little, it's become a little bit too easy that when somebody comes up to you and tells you something that they've been struggling with, you right away you're like, oh, it's not you. Like you're not the problem. Like you're doing everything you can, without actually knowing if they are, right? Because if like obviously, like if you know a person very well and they've been doing everything they can tell them you've been doing everything you can. Everything else is out of your control. But I feel like people are really quick to just be like, oh, it's like it's fine, you're doing everything you can. Instead of asking like, oh, well, what have you been doing? What have you tried? It doesn't have to be in a judgmental way, just like genuine curiosity, like what have you tried? What are you doing? Like what is why is it that you're struggling, reaching this thing that you want to do? And and I think that like when you actually ask, then it's like, okay, like would you mind if I gave you a couple of suggestions? Like, you know what I mean? Because I think that that's so much more beneficial than just that, like, that mutual, like, Oh, you're not doing well? Well, neither am I. You know what I mean? Like, instead of doing that, just being like, hey, like, how could you be doing better? Like, I hear that you're struggling. Is there any way I can help? Is there anything I can say? Are there any solutions you could come up with that would work instead of just accepting it and being like, yeah, it's not you. Like, you're fine. Like, you're doing everything you can. It's like, maybe you're not, but some people just aren't ready for that conversation.
Yeah, I feel like there's a level of empathy and compassion that's necessary, right? But I also do think that within this too, like you mentioned, that you do have to kind of like compliment sandwich it. That you kind of have to be like, hey, like I acknowledge that you're making these strides and this is awesome, but like, where are some areas that you could be trying to improve? And like, let's hone in on these things. 'Cause I think, like you mentioned too, if you're kind of falsely affirming things, and like if you're affirming things without much context, it kind of reinforces behavior or lack thereof or lack of action, right? And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, you know what? Actually, I am doing everything that I can be doing, and it's the world's fault that I'm not losing weight. And like, don't get me wrong, like there's times to be empathetic towards people and times to be compassionate, right? There's obvious, and like I think that's a happy medium. But I also think like our job as a coach, but I also think like on a friendship level too, like let's talk about friends too, right? It's your job to tell them like you're being an idiot. Like I don't know what you're thinking here, but like I realize that you're upset, but at the same time it's like these are the areas that you could be doing better.
Yes, exactly. No, absolutely. It's like the same thing as like if your friend is wearing like a stupid shirt, you're gonna be like, that's a stupid shirt. Like people are gonna laugh at you, right? I mean, as long as you have that level of closeness, right? But it's like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing where it's like, I'm not saying this because I'm judging you, because judging you would be like, hey, you're not doing shit, like you suck, and then just leaving it at that, right? Yeah, it's more so just being like, hey, what are you struggling with? Why are you complaining about this thing? Like, what is holding you back from the resolution of this thing that you're complaining about? Right? And then being curious and asking questions and then asking them, hey, is there a solution to this? Or giving them suggestions as to how that could be a potential thing. Because then at that point, it's like, at least you're giving them that perspective where it's like, even if in the moment they're not ready for that advice, in the future, they might, when they are, they're going to think about it. They're going to be like, oh, like Bryce told me that one time that I should do this instead. I didn't want to hear him then, but like now I'm like ready for it and I'm thinking about that. Whereas if you had just said like, oh, it's not your fault, like you'll figure it out. When they were ready to take action, they wouldn't know what the heck to do. Right?
I think it's a level of like something that I've learned a lot too, just with time, is as a man, I think we're taught to be very solution focused, right? And like in a sense, very logical, but emotions aren't logical, as I've realized, and you can't logic your way through an emotional situation. So what I've been trying to do more of, because I would often be that guy where I'd be like, I can't see what the problem is here. Like, especially like, let's say a friend's opening up to me about stuff, and I'm like, ah, this is easy. Like, you just go this way, you deal with this, right? And they're like, yeah, thanks, jackass. Like, I'm not looking for that right now. So, like, I think like what I've learned is I'm like, hey, when I'm approaching a conversation, kind of reading it and being like, hey, like, are you looking for me to listen to you right now, or are you looking
Yes.
for me to give you solutions and ideas? And
That's
like,
huge.
that kind of gives, even with clients now too, if a client's venting to me, I'll be like, hey, are you just wanting me to listen, or are you wanting me to try to provide you with solutions? And sometimes they'll just be like, oh, just listen. And I'm like, yeah, cool. Like, let me know if you want solutions or suggestions. And then usually once they've vented enough and they're like, oh, okay, so now what would you suggest, right? And
Yeah.
then from
And
there,
they
it's like,
usually
okay.
talk themselves into that too. Like once they kind of talk to you about it, they're like, okay, now I actually want to fix it. So tell me what you have to say.
I'm a verbal processor, so I'll go through that. I'll walk through it. I'll be like, I don't really know how I feel. Actually, no, I feel okay about it. Okay, actually, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we're good. But it's cool to just see, like, again, like your clients are gonna trust you, right? Or like your friends are gonna trust you. So I think it's important to like have that emotional intelligence and that emotional awareness to be like, okay, well, is this person in a state of mind where they're gonna be able to receive this well? Because like, doesn't matter what you say, and like I'm sure we've all been there, right? Like I know myself included. I've been angry with the world. I've thought the world is out to get me, I thought that there was somebody following me around being like, you're gonna fail, you're gonna suck. And then like, but then you get to a point where like you realize that that's just not how things are, right? Things aren't like set in stone for you. You're not like doomed to fail. And then all of a sudden, once that shifts, you're like in a place where you're way more receptive and responsive to people
And
actually like.
abundant because you're like actually willing to take what comes to you, right? And even on the bad days, like you know the days where you complain about stuff, like that those don't go away, right? But even
Yeah.
on those days, you're like, oh my God, like the world is out to get me. But it's not actually, like I know that I'm gonna get there anyway, right? It's
Yeah.
kind of just like it's something that it's like a seed that you plant and then you water every time you overcome that negative thought, you know, of like, oh, the world's out to get me. And you just go, no, it's not. Like, I know that I'm still gonna get, you know, and I know that I'm still gonna get there. Or being like, oh, this is so hard, but I know I'm gonna do it anyway. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? There's nothing wrong with complaining. Having that sense of frustration is a human emotion, but it's like, you know, powering through it. And I'm not talking about, because, oh, that's another thing. A lot of people think that powering through it means to ignore it, which it
I've been there.
doesn't.
Oh yeah, I've been
Right.
there. I've
Yeah,
been
me
there. I've been
too.
there.
It was, yeah, so many years. I was just like, hey, if I just don't think about this, like it'll go away. Right. But it actually, it bubbles up and then eventually it explodes and
Yeah.
that turns into something worse. Right. So it's like, yeah, you're allowed to complain. You're allowed to feel those frustrations. Right. But it's again, instead of just saying like the world's out to get me and leave it at that on a negative note. Or just being like
Yeah.
absolutely delusional and being like, oh, nothing bad's ever gonna happen and then everything's gonna work out without putting in any other effort, right? That's also really bad. But just being like, okay, no, like this shit's hard and I'm frustrated about it
Oh
is
man,
totally
yeah.
okay as long as you're like, okay, but I know that I'm still gonna do it. So
Yeah, I
let's just
know.
move on, you know?
I love this 'cause I think like I myself have gone through that, right? Like I've had times in my life where I've been like, ah, this isn't really worth stressing over, right? And like I think you're trying to talk yourself out of it and talk yourself through it. But then I've realized to emotionally process fully, you have to feel all of the emotions, right? You have to feel sadness, anger, you have to feel everything. But I think we tend to want to choose. You've obviously seen Inside Out, right? Where
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like they like toss those things into the machine and they shoot them all away. You're like, ah, you're not gonna feel sadness or anger, you're just gonna feel joy. And I'm like, but for like proper emotional regulation, you need to feel sad sometimes, you need to feel angry sometimes, you need to feel frustrated, you need to feel anxious, right? You need to feel all these things. And I think for me too, like you mentioned, is just acknowledging these feelings and sitting with them. Like I think for me for a long time, what I would do is I'd be like, well, I can't think about this if I'm on my phone scrolling, right? Or it's like, oh, I can't think about this if I'm listening to music. It's funny because my roommate made a comment once where he's like, I can tell the mood that you're in based off of the music that's playing. And I was like, oh, am I that obvious? So that's when I realized that, like, okay, no, I totally cope and rely on music as an external outlet that I could almost not have shame feeling my emotions through. But also it'd be like a form of like regulation. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. But yeah, it's cool to like learn that you have to accept these pieces of yourself and also accept these emotions for what they are instead of trying to deny them and accept certain ones, because that was me
Absolutely.
forever, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think that whole music thing that you brought up is so important because that kind of thing can be something that's such a healthy like emotional regulation tool because you can sit there and listen to like for example if you're feeling sad and you just don't know how to deal with it so you listen to sad music to feel a little bit more sad,
Sad boy
you know,
hours.
a lot of people don't, you know, see that as a negative, but it truly is. It helps you. It's like you said, you sit with that emotion, it helps you
Yeah.
sit with the emotion. It lets you feel it out. Like maybe if you're like really like sad, if something bad just happened, you're super sad, you know how to cope, you listen to sad music and you just cry listening to this one song on repeat for like an hour, definitely not talking about a personal experience.
Judgment. No judgment.
And then afterwards you're like, okay, I felt sad. And then
Yeah.
you like move on. And then you're like, but you don't move on leaving that, you know, untouched and just being like, okay, I'm just gonna throw it away. Like you felt sad, so now you can move on, you know, or whatever other emotion, right? So it can be something that's like really healthy. It becomes a problem when it's like an escape that's more so to like deny the emotion. So like for example, like I said, if you're sad, you listen to sad songs, you feel you sit in that sadness and then you feel it and then you move on, versus being like, I'm feeling sad, I'm gonna put on some ABBA right now and just listen to it so that I forget that I'm sad, right? That's like, I mean, it's not, again, different things work for different people, so I can't like say that that's like a finite no, don't do this. But at the end of the day, it's like if you're doing that consistently in order to not have to feel the actual emotion that you're feeling, then it's probably not a good idea. You know what I mean?
It's straight up denial, right? And I didn't, and
Yeah,
like that's the,
exactly.
that's the thing too, is I think within all this, like it's just realizing that you're gonna have these natural emotions. You're going to feel sad in certain periods of time too, and that's okay. I think it's a matter of just like understanding that you're gonna have periods where like your life is just more difficult, and shitty things are gonna happen. But I think it's just a matter of like understanding that like this is a shitty period in time, but eventually it'll be less shitty.
Yeah,
With
exactly.
time, as time passes, as I become more resilient, as I get more perspective, and as I get more like hindsight on the whole situation, it gradually becomes less shitty. But like in the moment, it kind of feels like your whole world's ending. And like that's normal, I think, right?
Yeah, and I think people talk in absolutes, you know, like if you're going through a shitty time, again, you're allowed to sit with the emotions you're feeling during the shitty time. Like, you're allowed to be like, I'm sad right now. I haven't had a good day in a few days. Or, like, you know, you're allowed to acknowledge that. A lot of people are like, oh, like, I'm really sad right now. So I just have to find ways to feel happy all the time. You know, like, I have to get there. And then it's just like the road to getting there is just miserable, you know? Whereas, like, if you can say, like, oh, I feel shitty right now because this is what's happening in my life. Right, then you can acknowledge it. Like, you can't begin to process an emotion if you can't feel it first, right? Because otherwise, it's like it never existed. And then it's just like, you know,
Yeah.
then it just feels like it's a lie. Like, you're just like, I'm not allowed to feel these things. If you're, you know, putting them on the back burner every single time, you're telling yourself, because your brain only understands behavior, right? So it's like, if you're doing actively doing things that push away you feeling those emotions in a, you know, behavioral way or externally, like it literally tells your brain, like, we're not allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do this. And then eventually, again, it bubbles up and it gets worse. And then it actually does become a problem. Emotions aren't a problem until, you know, you stack them all up. And then eventually it really does become a problem, you know, but
Yeah, I think we create a lot of our own suffering by not processing and feeling these emotions properly and allowing them, like you said, to almost like stockpile. And then you have like a mental breakdown or an anxiety attack or panic attack, and then you feel all of them at great amplitudes at the same time. It's like, oh, I feel anxious, sad, angry, frustrated all at once, and it just bursts like a volcano.
Exactly. No, absolutely. And that's, I feel like, something that really works, something that I've been trying to kind of adapt into my own life as well, is because somebody I know explained it to me very well, was if you're ever feeling like a strong emotion, it could even be happiness. A lot of people think it's just when you're experiencing something negative, just experience it the way that a 3-year-old would. Like, if you had a 3-year-old in front of you, how would they feel right now if they just went through what you went through, or like, you know, emotionally? And then if you experience it that way, then it's like, okay, it's very much just external. Like, little kids, they have no filter. Like, they don't know how to do these things, so they just externalize everything, right? So that's
Yeah.
like a good way to start and do that, right? And then kind of, you know, figure it out. Like, you know, it also depends on the emotion. Like, with anxiety, it's like the reason why there's ways to cope with anxiety is because you have a lot, it's more of like a neurological reaction that you have. Right. And it's more just like in your body. So it's easier to, you know, bring yourself back if you have some control over your body. That's why there's those kinds of things. Whereas, like, when you're talking about something like sadness, It's just like, yeah, like the most obvious way to deal with it is just to cry, right? But some people like can't cry. So it's like there's, other ways around it and things like that. But yeah, like kind of forgot where I was going with this, but
That's
it's all
okay.
important. It's all important.
It's so interesting that we create our own suffering due to these stories that we tell ourselves of these situations that have happened or these situations that haven't happened yet, and that causes us to live everywhere but the present. And that's me too, right? Like I've been notoriously bad for living in the past or for living in the future, thinking about situations that haven't happened yet and all of the ways that something could go wrong tenfold, or living in the past and rethinking scenarios, thinking like, what if this happened this way instead? What if this happened instead? What if would I still be here where I am today? But like, end of the day too, like I think what I read was I read The Power of Now, and that was a pretty good book for me.
Such a good book.
Yeah, I realized that, like, and he had a good line in that where he was like, there really is no past or future. There is just the like a present moment that's already past, and there will be present moments in the future. And
Yeah.
for me, that was like, oh man, getting those hits. And I was like, this like totally makes sense, because we tell ourselves stories through memories of the past, right? But like, we've already lived it. And even of the future too, like they're all anxiety driven thoughts of how things could go wrong. But we think about all things that could go wrong, not could go right. Or we think about like stuff in the
Yeah.
past, and we think about stuff in the past that like these things that define us and like have like maybe we've messed up here or there. But like, end of the day, like it's brought us to where we are still now. And like,
Exactly.
likely we wouldn't be where we are as of right now if we didn't have the odd shitty experience then back then, or maybe a compound of shitty things happening. And here we are today.
Everything happens for a reason, right? It's like I think they're calling it like the burnt toast theory, where it's like if you hadn't burnt your toast in the morning, those extra 5 minutes, maybe you would have gone in your car 5 minutes earlier and you would have gone in a car crash or like that kind of thing. It's like the butterfly effect a little bit, right?
Yeah,
But yeah,
100%.
it's like that the idea that like anxiety is worrying about like anxiety and stress is just kind of like worrying about things that have happened or will happen, you know? Stress is more linked to maybe something that has happened, whereas anxiety is linked to something that like will happen, right? But they're interchangeable. So it's like, yeah, that's the way they kind of go hand in hand, right? And a lot of people like wonder why they feel this way. And it's because, like you said, like they're not present. And again, I've also like very much struggled with that because
Of
I'm very
course.
like, I'm a planner. So it's like everything has to go. I'm also a perfectionist. So I'm just
Speaking to
like,
the choir.
everything has to work. And if I was
Yeah.
thinking about that one time I did that thing wrong and it just like
Yeah.
derailed my project, or like I'm thinking
Yeah.
about this project I have to do in the future. And
Yeah.
I'm thinking about how it has to be perfect, right? But it's like realistically, it's like bringing yourself back in, even if it's like actively like speaking to yourself and being like right now, it's like, yes, I have things to do tomorrow, Bryce, but like right now in this moment, as I'm speaking to you, I'm fine. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, I have things that I have to stress about tomorrow. I have to stress about how I have to drive in this super snowy weather tomorrow to the grocery store.
Yeah,
And I'm not
yeah.
ready for it, right? But it's like, why do I have to, like right now, like in this moment, I'm fine. Like I'm sitting here, I'm comfortable, I'm in my home, I'm talking. I'm on this cool podcast, like I'm talking to you, like we're having a good time,
Yeah,
right? Yes, there's things
100%.
I'm stressed about tomorrow, but it's like right now, that's not my right now. You know what I mean? Like I'll be stressed driving on the road when I'm stressed driving on the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so, oh man, it's so interesting. And like for me too, like I would be chronic overthinker, perfectionist too. But then I had a realization recently where spontaneous things that happen in our life are usually associated with being awful things, but they're also usually incredible things, right? When you think about like spontaneous things that happen, like it's usually like, when you start dating somebody, or when you maybe you reach a new milestone in business, right? Or but then we always think about like spontaneous things being bad, like someone dying, or we think about like getting into a car accident or whatever, like any of these random things, right? But again, like those aren't predictable things, right? Yet we try to create a predictable future. It's like But when we look at things that aren't predictable, the beautiful things are often so spontaneous. You know, like when, like the best things you could do, like especially like with a partner or with a friend, is like spontaneously going somewhere. Like you're just like on the road and you're like, you want to go eat there? Like that's always a good time. You know, it's never like, when is that
Yeah.
ever
Or
bad?
it's
I mean,
like
it's
when
not.
you're like, I don't want to go to the gym today, but you go anyway. And it's one of the best like workout sessions you've had in a while. And you're like, yeah, like you see, I didn't plan for it. Like I didn't want to go, but I ended up going anyway. And it was, you know, it was one of the best workouts I've had in a really long time. Or, you know, it's just, yeah, it's the things you don't plan, right?
And then like I think people get they get married to the idea of planning. And like that's for me too, right? Like I feel like it's like a control thing. I need to have control of what's happening. But again, like I think the idea of planning, like it's again, it's a ripple effect. It's a compound effect of like these daily actions and habits that are multiplying. And like that is not going to be spontaneous at all. And that's still going to move you forward. And I'm not saying that like again, planned things won't move you forward, but I do
Like,
think
please
that
have a plan. Please have a plan. That's
planned
what we're
things,
saying.
but planned things are predictable. But planned things also so create momentum. But usually it's these spontaneous things that you find joy or heartbreak or hurt in. But again, like it all still are things that like really shape you and like truly test your character. Like it's like
Yeah.
strong character development stuff.
And sometimes over planning can also be the downfall too. Like having a plan is really great as a baseline, I think, but it's one of those things where it's like something that I tell some of my clients to do. Again, not the best foolproof advice you'll ever hear, but it's like if you have something important to do today that you're like procrastinating, just go to the gym. Like go to the, even if it's not in your schedule today, just go to the gym, procrastinate it with something else that's good for you. Like,
Yeah, 100%.
and I've like, they've literally like be, when I've said that, my girls will tell me like, I had such a good gym session because there was no pressure to be there. It was like, I'm going, I just went, right? It was spontaneous and it was just something that I did, right? It just kind of like, sometimes that planning of like, well, I have to go to the gym, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Then it's like, oh, you didn't go on Monday. It's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna go for the rest of the week. Whereas like if you're like on the Tuesday, you're like, oh, I just finished work and I'm gonna drive like past the gym. I'm just gonna go, right? Like I'm already here and just doing it, right? Not giving yourself like a choice. Or like another thing I tell them, it's like, go to the gym, but don't work out. And then they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, go to the gym and don't work out. Like, that's what I'm telling you to do. And then they go and they're like, well, I'm already here. Like, like
I
I'm not
took my
gonna go back to
pre-workout.
my
Like, am I
car.
just gonna sit here?
Yeah. Yeah, or just go to the gym and walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes and that's it. And then leave. And then like they don't leave, obviously, because they're like, okay, well, I already have a scheduled workout. Which again is the baseline. We have a plan, but I'm telling you, like, if you don't want to go to the gym, then don't freaking do your workout. Just go and walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes and then go home. And then they're like, well, I'm already here, so I'm just gonna do my workout anyway.
Don't be
Yeah.
too like, I think that you know the point across here is just like don't be too married to something that you have to like follow through on this 1000% fully all the time. Because like again, I think like there is a point of being structured and organized, but there is a point of being like way too structured and way too organized to the point where like if something happens outside of your schedule, it derails you. And I was
Yeah.
like that usually too. Like I'd be like, this wasn't in my block. This wasn't in my 6 to 7 p.m. Like what? But like your life doesn't revolve around your fucking Google calendar.
Yeah.
Like this like so
But it
again,
should.
yeah, but it should, right? Yeah, so it's like it
Yeah.
needs to. No, it's been amazing, and I think we'll end it on that because that's honestly
Yeah.
like a great thing
Sounds
for us to
good.
talk about. So, for those people that do not follow you, where can they follow you on? What are you up to? What do you have in the works? All
What
that
am
fun
I up
stuff.
to? Yeah, so you guys can follow me on Instagram at FernFitOfficial. And I, again, if you're a girly watching this and you're looking for a coach who just you want to vibe with and is there to support you, like really support you and not just give you a generic plan, you know where to find me and just shoot me a DM and we can talk.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I love having conversations like these. I love how we're like, hey, we're gonna talk about men and women, but no, let's talk about psychology for an hour.
No, I'm like, I think this stuff is so important, right? And I think for me too, just with being on this journey that I'm on, that I'm realizing too that like it's so important to realize these things within yourself. But for you to fully, move forward in your life too and see the progress you want to be seeing, you have to have a level of awareness.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're putting this out for people to hear, because I think sometimes it just takes somebody listening to what you have to say, right? To make something click. And I think that that's why it's important to have these conversations publicly, you know?
Yeah. And I'll tell the listeners today too, if you know a friend that's struggling, and if you know a friend that's ha been having a tough go of it, first of all, send them something, just like small gratitude, being like, oh man, I love you, right? But also send them this podcast, have them listen to it, go through, it will be okay. Even though you might be in a shit creek right now, it will be all right.
I agree.
All right, thanks again, guys.
Bye.